Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we are going to talk about a little topic in franchising called scaling. We're going to go through some of the important things to think about, how this actually works. It can be very different based on whether it's a retail or a non-retail location. What are some of the key traits an owner might need to even explore this or be successful at it? And then franchisors, right? Which ones are available for this, or all of them? What does that look like? There's a lot of behind the scenes things that go on with this. So we're going to look at those ways to really grow, potential ways to grow your franchise into this huge empire, as big as you want it to be. That's what we're going to talk about today. First up, a quick reminder of who we are at Fran Coach. We are a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals like yourself who are interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with well over 600 franchises in about 70 different industries. Our goal, really two things. Number one is, let's get you properly educated on all things franchising to determine if this is a path for you. And if so, goal number two is going to be to help you find your absolute best franchise to own. Okay, so that's us. Now let's talk about scaling your franchise. What is it like to be a multi-unit owner is the first thing we're going to talk about. But before we get into how to scale, I think it's also important to remember that it is not required. Yes, there are some franchises that will absolutely require you to be multi-unit owners, but it is pretty rare. And then also that some of the, this is actually probably a little counterintuitive, because when you think about, I'm going to own a franchise, one of the reasons, it's not the main one, but one of the reasons is being able to create revenue for yourself, wealth and equity for you and your family. But some of the happiest franchise owners in every single franchise system out there are single unit owners, and they are not the top performers in that system. So stop for a second, right? Like, how is that possible? Well, the reason is, again, what is that number one goal people use to start a franchise? The number one reason is control, right? Control over what? It's usually a lot of things, but it starts with lifestyle, time, freedom, flexibility, right? Yes, we're going to talk about the money. That is always a factor, but it is rarely the absolute driver for people. So some of the people that are the happiest owners in any franchise system are single unit owners, and they're not the top performers. Again, how's that possible? Where they're hitting their goals for how much time they're spending and the money they're making. If they're happy, franchisor is happy. Right. So now, for people that are thinking or have some interest in scalability and how to grow an empire, that may seem a little counterintuitive, but it also does mean whatever point you think you are. We always talk about this as like the floor and the ceiling, right? When you get to your happy point, is that a single unit? Great. Is that 20 units? Great. Whatever your happy place is, you can settle in right there and the franchise is going to be fine with it. Okay. So again, keep that in mind. But as we look at this, when we're going to be a multi-unit owner, we're going to look at this briefly from the perspective of a retail franchise and a non-retail franchise. So oftentimes in franchising, it's single unit, it's three units, it's five units. Can you do two or four? Absolutely. But a lot of times they kind of come in those one, three, and five. And then from there, it's whatever, right? So if you're going to do a three-unit agreement with a retail franchise, right? I don't care whether it's food, it's fitness, it's whatever it is. We're somewhere in that strip mall, or maybe we got a bigger standalone thing. Right off the bat, it's important to know that you are not required, and rarely is anybody opening up all three of those at the same time, okay? So that's the first kind of fear. If we have just a very simply, let's say we've got a retail location, their total investment is $500,000. And you're sitting there going, oh man, I got to open up three. I'd love to have three eventually, but I don't have $1.5 million in my pocket to open up three of these right now. No worries, you don't have to. right? You're going to have a kind of a development timeline for this. So goal number one is get the first unit open. From signing a franchise agreement until being open for a retail location, it can take 6 to 12 months, right? So you're usually going to have a, in the agreement, kind of a deadline, so to speak. Hey, you need to have this first location open in, say, 12 months. Great. But then you're going to have a timeline for 2 and 3. First one needs to be open in 12 months. Second one needs to be open 9 months after that. Third one needs to be open, 9 months after that. Something like that. Every franchise is a little bit different on how quickly they want those realistically opened. But again, think of it from that perspective. So from signing a franchise agreement to, 2.5 years later, you're going to have all three of these open in that scenario. There's some quick math in my head there, 12, 9, and 9, right? So I think that's right. We're going to go with that. So you've got that timeline to be open, have all three of these open. So your focus is really getting everything right on that first one. So again, right off the bat, don't worry about that. Secondarily is the funding side of things, how somebody is doing this. Is it a rollover? Is it an SBA? Is it cash? Whatever. The developmental timeline sometimes plays into that, but I don't want to get in the weeds on that. The other thing to think about from a funding standpoint and an investment standpoint, maybe a little bit in unit two, but certainly by that third unit, the revenue that you're spinning off from the first two units should be helping to fund the third unit. And certainly when you get past that, if we're doing, a really big thing where we're doing 4, 5, 8, 10, whatever, the revenue from the open locations is helping get those next ones open. The other thing that you have with this is you should also be thinking about building your leadership team. Right. And so one of the main reasons that we look at this when you think of the economies of scale, right? And so certainly buying power is going to come into play, the labor, but also that managerial side of things, right? Is so first unit, I'm in there, I'm building my team. I'm starting out with maybe I've got a manager or assistant manager or a team lead, whatever, but I'm starting to identify my people. Right. And who are some people that when I get ready to launch number two, I can take these folks and slide them over there. Usually they're all close enough, right? It's not like I've got, one in Arizona and one in Maine and one in Washington, right? It's going to be, usually I might have three locations and they might be in a 10 square mile radius, right? So being able to take somebody from this first location and take them into that second location usually is pretty easy. And you're going to start identifying them and start building that team. Maybe somebody starts with them as an employee. Well, maybe you wanted them to transfer as an employee at unit number two, but maybe we're giving them some little title bump, right? They're a team lead, they're an assistant manager, things like that. So it makes that ramp up in unit two, theoretically, it's going to be easier. You already have trained, experienced people. Everybody was learning from scratch, yourself included, at the beginning. We kind of got the bugs worked out of this. We've got the people in place. It's going to launch that, right? Now, by the time we're ready for unit three, well, we've got two units full of staff that are here that are growing that, again, identify those people, right? We may have somebody at that point from unit one that's now even gone above the store level. Maybe they are, kind of a regional manager, district manager, something like that. Cause you really have to start building your leadership team. You cannot be in three locations all at once, right? So you've got those things. The other piece of economies of scale is, things like, again, maybe it's some of the inventory, maybe it's cups, right? Well, oh man, I ran out of cups at location number two. Well, let me run over to location one or location three. I can grab a couple more things like that, right? You do have to have build outs of all three. So yes, the revenue from one and two may be helping to offset that third location, but you are doing full build outs that are replicated from all three, right? Or however many of these you're going to have, right? So you do have that. You are going to have all the stuff. You are going to have a little shared resources. Maybe somebody calls in sick at location number two. Well, maybe we have somebody at location number one that was, on the payroll. Hey, can you come over here and fill in, right? Versus being short staffed, right? So things like that, again, the labor, the marketing piece is going to be spread out. Again, it's the buying power. So it lessens those costs a little bit as you are growing, okay? That's on the retail side.
Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking, which highlights the best franchises of 2022. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more.
Now, what about on the non-retail side? Let's say I want three territories of, and again, I always use kind of the same analogies or examples. I want three territories of a cleaning franchise. Okay, great. Well, I'm still going to have the developmental timeline. So it's a little bit more common that maybe you are going to tap into all three territories right off the bat from a non-retail standpoint, but typically you're still really focused on the first territory. Make sure, again, it's getting up and running. Part of this is also the route efficiencies, right? If we've got three territories and that covers 20 square miles, we don't want to be zigzagging all over the place because we have one customer here, one here, one here, one here, right? So we're just going to focus in that first territory. Again, we're building up our team because we're going to start having multiple units or multiple crews, right? So the team lead piece, we're going to have different vehicles going all over the place. We are, again, you're still going to have that timeline. It may be a little bit quicker to get into unit two or unit three with the non-retail because we don't have the build out piece, right? If it's a cleaning or any home service, a lot of times we don't even need an office, or if we do, it's going to be centrally located, right? It's a place to park the vehicles. It's the stuff. It's a place to meet our team, get them dispatched out for the day. Right. But that can kind of be centrally located with those, in this case, three territories. So that's all we really need. So again, a little quicker to launch into territory two, what are we going to need to add? We're going to need to add some marketing dollars in that territory. We're going to need at least a, vehicle and crew right off the bat in that territory, right? So now maybe we've grown to two in the first one. Now we start the first one in territory number two. We might be 6 months later, right? Now we might be three crews, let's say, in the first territory. We've got two in the second, and now we're launching the first one over here, number three. Again, we've got shared resources. So if there's maybe we ran out of cleaning supplies in territory two for something, right? Well, great. We can pull it from one of the other two. Somebody calls in sick, right? Whatever. We've got that. So we're not missing the beat on anything from that perspective. The marketing is shared. Our referral sources. Again, when we talk about home service, we talk often about connecting with people in the community. I always say realtors, because realtors have a referral source for everything. Right. So now maybe that one realtor, they could have referred you business in these other areas, but you weren't quite ready for it yet. Well, now you can, right? So again, you've got the shared resources of all of this, right? You are going to pay for any of these, retail and non-retail. That additional franchise fee is almost always reduced. Franchises want to incentivize those that are looking to do multiple units. So if I use simple math and say, a franchise fee is $50,000 for one, three territories isn't three times that. So it wouldn't be 150, it might be 110, right? And again, give or take, everybody's a little bit different, but it is incentivized for you. You are paying that up front no matter what, but you're not really paying anything else for those extra territories until you are ready to launch per your development timeline. Okay. So it is a great way to, again, kind of dominate the market, spread out, and really, again, kind of have those shared resources amongst however many locations you want. You are building wealth and equity like crazy, right? Eventually, that exit strategy is always to sell your franchise business. One unit of it, okay, great. Three, not bad. Five, 10. Again, you want to talk about building generational wealth. This is how people do it, right? So I think when we think of scaling, most everybody is going to think of this. I want multiple units of franchise X, retail or non-retail. I want to tap into that right off the bat. Can you add units down the road? Absolutely. If they are available, right? But there's no guarantee that's going to happen, right? So again, being able to look, if you feel like three is going to hit your goals, you're comfortable with it financially, then lock that in right away. Nobody can come in and take those territories as long as you're within your development timeline. If I just start with one, I could all of a sudden see all this empty space around me, but 6 months from now, it could be gobbled up by somebody else. Right? There's just no way of knowing. So, but you can always add on down the road. With that, you're usually going to lose out on that discount if it's a couple years down the road. It's not too terribly important, right, when we get to that point. So you can add down the road. So, but what's the other way to scale? Multi-brand owners. So this is something most people don't think much about. But I want to own franchise X. I'm going to get it started, whether it's one unit, two, three, five, whatever. And then a little bit down the road, instead of continuing to spread, I want to kind of grow on top of this, right? And now I've got franchise X, but now I'm also starting franchise Y. Okay. So how can we do this? So there's a couple of ways. We can think of things that are more similar focused. If it's retail, think of that strip mall. Right? What are we going to see in the strip mall? And strip malls, for the most part, usually are like a heavy percentage of those businesses are franchises. We just don't realize it, right? So we've got a food thing, we've got a fitness thing, we've got a health and or a beauty franchise. Maybe we got a shipping franchise. Again, all across the board here, right? I want to own that strip mall, right? I don't want to spread out my locations all over 30 square miles. I want to own one of these, right? I know it's anchored by, you know, whatever big shopping thing, right? It's a nice Target or a Whole Foods or something like that. So I know the demographics are great. I want to have multiple of these. Great. You can do that. The other thing, when you think of non-retail, think of home service, right? This is the similarities of this. Hey, you trust me to clean your house. We've done a great job. You've been our customer for the last 2 or 3 years. Guess what? We also now own a business that does pick your next home service. We can paint, we can do landscape, we can do this, right? You trusted us for one, therefore you're going to trust us for the other, right? Go one step further with this is you can also, now there are certain kind of parent companies that have a collection of home service brands. So you could do that under that same umbrella. You don't even have to learn other people, new systems, new, I got to use, you know, all of this software and technology and CRM for franchise X. And then I got this whole other thing for franchise Y. Why not just use the same thing? Those parent companies are usually going to have cross marketing already in place for you. So you don't necessarily have to do it. Your referral sources, again, hey, you trusted us to send your leads, your clients over us to clean their house. Now we can also paint it. We can this. Great. That's the most common way to do that, but you can mix and match, right? I'm going to own a cleaning franchise. I've built it up. I've got five territories. I dominate this whole metro area. I always really thought it'd be cool to own a food franchise. Now I got the money to be able to do that. Now I'm going to start a food franchise, right? Again, there's really like there's no set blueprint. There's commonalities with what this is going to look like for folks. It is significantly more common for somebody to do a multi-brand where they are similar. It's more simplistic. And even so, if you can pull that out under the same umbrella company, kind of parent company, makes it so much easier because you're not learning new systems all the time. Okay. The things you want to think about, like, why might somebody be good or candidate to have a franchise that's going to scale? Well, one of it is what are your long-term goals from a financial standpoint? Also, we need to think about what's your capability from a financial standpoint, right? But what are you looking for, right? Will one unit hit your financial goals? Again, if so, that's awesome. If not, then we've got to be able to look, well, one is, 50% of what my goal is. Okay. Well, we probably need at least two, but adding that third is a pretty small additional investment for this. Maybe that's what we look at, right? What's your long-term exit strategy from a wealth and equity standpoint? Again, this is something you're going to sell. One unit is going to get you X, three units, again, three times that, right? So we want that. The other thing that people think about sometimes is the legacy aspect. Right. But if somebody has three kids and we have one unit, well, we can play our own little version of Family Hunger Games to see who gets over, take care of mom or dad's business. Or if there's three units or there's even three different brands, right? Bam, bam, bam. We've got now truly the family business, right? With this. Things you need to think about that are you good at as an individual? Is you really have to have a growth mindset with this, which I think should be obvious. I always kind of want to bring back in one of the hidden traits for franchise ownership is really that positivity of like, I can't stress this enough as a franchise owner in general, crap's going to go wrong, right? How are you going to handle that? Are you Eeyore? Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Or are you like, hey, Billy called in sick today. Oh man, I knew the labor was going to be an issue, blah, blah, blah. Or going, oh yeah, no worries. I already have three different versions of a backup plan for this. Great. I've got that positive mindset. Somebody that can manage managers, right? You're going to be more than likely pretty hands-on in the first unit. But how are you going to be physically present once you have three locations, or even if it's three territories? You cannot be everywhere at one place. You've got to be comfortable managing managers, which then really goes back to fostering the growth of your staff, right? Are you somebody that is going to find enjoyment and in being able to take somebody and go, hey, you're starting out at ground zero with us, but here's a pathway for you to be able to go from, this level to this level, to then you're a team lead, then you're an assistant manager, then you're a manager, then you're a district manager, right? It's a whole career path for people. You have to be able to enjoy that, like being able to kind of build the people. It also is something that's going to really have an impact on the community, because as you grow, you're going to become more and more of a major employer in your community. Right. You are, and again, creating those leaders within the community. Right. So those are kind of things you want to be able to think about. Am I good at that? Do I enjoy those things? If so, then we really may want to look at the scalability. And then the last piece is, what about the franchise? So one might think that every franchise wants and really pushes for multi-unit owners. Now, that's not true. Some franchises really don't want that at all, and that's okay. This is where we always talk about Google is not helpful in the search, right? It's not going to tell you which franchises are great for semi-absentee, which ones love it, which ones, like, all of these different things, or for scalability rather, not semi-absentee. And I saw an article recently on a pretty reputable site that talked about some of the top franchises for multi-unit owners. There were literally two of them listed in there that don't look for multi-unit owners, right? So again, even when you're seeing these things online, really grain of salt, probably lots of grains of salt, right? That's proprietary. Frankly, that's why you use somebody like our team here at Fran Coach, is that we know which franchises are all about this, right? So almost all are going to be okay with it, but there are some that really focus on it. And again, this could be the exact same industry. You could have a painting franchise that's like, no, we really want single unit operators. That's us. That's what we're all about. The next painting franchise is like, we're okay with that, but we really want people that want to grow these big empires, right? Looking for that multi-unit, maybe even multi-brand growth, right? And then what's their experience with it? How are they going to support it? Is there any level of track record of people that have come in and built to your level, right? Or the level that you're hoping to. This is all stuff that we're going to help our clients with. But again, it's key to make sure that you're finding that right fit for you. Do you want to be the pioneer? I am okay being the first person to be a 5-unit owner in this brand. That's awesome. That's going to matter a little bit less to you what their track record is. That's probably actually, as I say that, it's probably going to matter the same, because if you're not the first, then you may not want to do it. But that may scare the crap out of you. Like, I'd really love to grow to 5 units, but give me some examples of who's done it. And the franchise is going to be able to say, all right, we got Sally over here. She's up to 5. You know, we got Bob over here. He's on his 3rd, on his way to 5, right? To be able to give you some sense of what that journey was, understand, be able to talk to those owners, hear their bumps along the way. So again, you can learn from it. The franchise is all about that proven system and plan, how to be able to learn from it and implement and execute for you. So scaling your franchise, it is, again, just a magnificent way to build like the financial side of the franchise that is so much greater than what you're going to have as an employee, because you are in control of this, right? Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, one of them, like, just keep swimming. You can just keep growing. And again, even if you start with, I want to do 3, that doesn't mean you're capped at 3. Maybe by the time you have 3 units open for that brand, there's not room to scale around you. Then become that multi-brand owner. Again, this, it's cheesy, but the sky really is the limit for this. And then at whatever point you find your happy spot, whether that's 1, whether that's 101, you can settle in right there, kind of have that status quo. As long as you're happy, the franchise is going to be happy. So that is a little bit more about scaling your franchise. So hopefully that helped. And again, as always with our podcast episodes, I hope that they provide some insight into the amazing possibilities that are out there as a franchise owner. If you are ready to learn a little bit more to see if this is your pathway now, then reach out to us and our team, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Again, if you're not talking to somebody on Team Fran Coach, you got the wrong people. There are some imposters out there, folks. Don't fall for it. We're the OGs in the podcast space for franchising. So we are here for you. As always, there's never, ever any fee for our service. So the hell are you waiting for? Reach out to our team, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Let us help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll talk with you next week.